Hello and welcome to this week's Daily Info Oxcast, your weekly audio roundup of all the best events happening in and around Oxford. And today is the penultimate podcast of 2014. So we've got one next week on the 17th of December, and then we're going to be off for Christmas and back on the 7th of January. And if you've recently got into the podcast and you don't want to miss us when we're back in 2015, then you can subscribe on iTunes. If you just go on iTunes, search for Daily Info, you'll find the podcast. You can subscribe, and then every Wednesday we'll come straight to you and you don't have to go looking for us.
Or you could listen back to old episodes, which I'm sure are as hilarious and entertaining as always.
And topical, despite them being quite time sensitive. But anyway, you can have a listen back and then look forward to more of us in 2015.
This week I'll be talking about gingerbread and Olympians.
I've got gyrating, shopping and an interview with Vez from Irregular Folk. But before we get into the events in the podcast, a bit of housekeeping. There's a few cool things happening on Daily Info at the moment. So every Christmas we like to make an advent calendar, which is quite original. Last year we had sort of picture riddles. I think they've got a word that actually
describes
dingbats. And they led you to discover various independent shops in Oxford. This year we've gone for a boozier theme, all as influenced possibly. And we've taken our little dragon friend, Daily Info Dragon, around various pubs in Oxford on a pub crawl. And every day there's a picture of a dragon in or outside a pub, and you've got to guess which one. You can go back from the 1st of December and look and check your pub knowledge. And then
they're pretty tricky,
once
some
you
of them.
Click through, some of them are. Anyway, go and find our dragon. He's going to be in and around pubs up until the 25th. And you can get to the advent calendar from our homepage and catch up on all the dates you've missed.
We've also got a Christmas game on the site at the moment called Santa's Surprise, which you might recognise is quite similar to our Valentine's game, but a little different. It's a pretty simple game, but really, really addictive, like strangely addictive. And there's a leaderboard and a high score board there as well, so you can try and get to the top. Again, there's a link to that from the homepage and on pretty much any page from the site.
And whilst we're on the subject of Christmas, not that we're really going to stray from this subject for most of the podcast, we've also written up a handy Christmas page with lots of information. This is also accessible from our homepage, and it's got things like the last posting dates, transport, Christmas opening hours, and then some things like where to buy and then recycle your Christmas tree. So if there's anything you think's missing, you can always get in touch with us on info@dailyinfo.co.uk and just have a read, be informed, play a game, check your local Oxford pub knowledge, and then continue listening with our first event, the Snow Queen.
Yeah, we've been trying to spread out all of the Christmas theatre events throughout a few different podcasts because there's so much of it. But the Snow Queen is at the Pegasus until the 4th of January. This is a Pegasus in-house production of Hans Christian Andersen's tale, which has pretty much been everywhere since Frozen came out, I think, because it's Frozen loosely based on the Snow Queen. Now the Snow Queen is everywhere. We sent along our reviewer, Amber, who was very impressed and named The Northern Lights and the Snow Queen's Icy Palace as particular highlights. She also went along with 6-year-old Morrigan, who said the best bit was near the end when this really funny man climbed up a tree to be the crow, and they said the crow was dead, and he looked embarrassed. Then he pretended to be the grandmother, who they said wasn't dead, and he looked very relieved. It was very funny.
One of the cast members in this show was in Flintlock Theatre's Don Q, and was very good at multi-rolling, so I'm looking forward to seeing it and seeing what else he can do, because he was very amusing.
Apparently the sets and props and effects and lighting and projection is all really, really good as well. Amber did say there was a lot of quite tight hand-holding from her 6-year-old, and that the age recommendation of 7+ was probably about right, unless you have a particularly brave younger one.
It's nice, though, because the original story is quite dark, so it's nice not to gloss over that too much.
Yeah, definitely.
But do it in a kind of artistic and accessible way for young people,
I think,
but also a bit chilling.
A throat slitting with red ribbons that's quite edgy and eerie. But yeah, as I said, it's on until the 4th of January with evening and matinee performances at the Pegasus. Tickets are £15, £10 and £6. Runtime is 95 minutes, including an interval, so not too long either.
Now, our events listings are bursting at the seams with Christmas markets and carol services and concerts. And in the podcast, we like to highlight, obviously, the big ones you can't miss, but also then give a little shout out to some of the smaller events happening in Oxford being put on by people around here. So the unavoidable market is obviously the Broad Street Christmas market, partly unavoidable because you either have to reroute or get off your bike if you want to go via Broad Street, so you won't miss it. But also there's lots of wonderful sights and smells on offer. There's some local artisan makers such as Of Woodstock, who make really, really gorgeous little unique soap and skincare products. Also vegetarian hot dogs called Not Dogs.
Oh, nice.
Which is a great brand name. Mm-hmm. And there's some Polish pottery. And some Oxford shops are actually popping up as well as, you know, existing in Oxford. So if you can't be bothered to go to Little Clarendon Street, then Demijohn has a stall. And if you can't be bothered to go to Cali Road, then Indigo has a stall.
Also lazy, if you can't be bothered
pretty
to go.
Pretty lazy, but they're making life easy for us. So there's gifts, food, drink, and there's also entertainment. There's kind of brass bands, silver bands, lots of young people's dance and theatre groups putting on performances at all different times. So it'll be a really good atmosphere. But if you want to avoid the city centre and you're an East Oxford local, then the East Oxford Market on Saturday between 10 and 2 has got carols, Christmas trees and festive goodies. And then also the Cape of Good Hope on Sunday are doing a Christmas fair from 12 till 6. It's completely free. And apparently Santa might make an appearance as well.
Wow. Awesome.
Yes. And then for those North Oxford types, you can pop over to Jericho for a Christmas bazaar at St Barnabas School, also on Saturday, between 1 and 4. There's a £2 entry fee here, but there is children's entertainment provided. So £2 for a bit of childcare whilst you do some Christmas shopping.
Hopefully another Santa
too. It's a good deal. Hopefully Santa. Mm-hmm. That is pretty entertaining for children.
You've got to get that photo of a terrified child on Santa's knee, right? Like a little two-year-old. Oh, amazing.
Send it to BuzzFeed. It will go viral. So there's plenty, plenty more markets and carol services on Daily Info. It's completely free to list your events. So if you know if something's happening in your area, then just go to dailyinfo.co.uk and pop it up.
At this time of year, you will often see a performance of Handel's Messiah that is on in Oxford. We were actually having a look and we think that the 100th Messiah from our event system is being performed at the Sheldonian this week, and Jen is here to tell us about it.
Yes, this performance is by Oxford Philharmonica, and it's in the Sheldonian, which is a very fitting place because Handel himself came and conducted performances in 1733 in the Sheldonian. Wow. Not of Messiah, he hadn't written that yet, but of other things. In fact, one of his oratorios had its premiere there, which is rather fun. And as far as we can see, the first Messiah in the Sheldonian was in 1749, which was to celebrate the opening of the Radcliffe Camera, which is rather nice. Yeah, so this one is Oxford Philharmonica, and it's being done with a small choir and some professional soloists, and it's at 7:30 on Thursday the 11th. And I think there are only tickets left for the upper gallery. But the good news is those are the cheap tickets and you are closer to the nice ceiling. So
also, it's pretty uncomfortable wherever you sit.
So, you're going to need to take a cushion, whatever,
really,
so you're
not
missing
much.
Out anymore. Yeah, so I was looking into why Messiah is such a popular thing to happen. We think there are about 10 a year.
In Oxford alone.
That's
in
Oxford. What my maths was leading me to as well.
So why is it so good? Well, it's populist in that it has great tunes, which you can actually hum along to, which stick in your mind. But it's a sophisticated enough piece of music that professional musicians like playing it too, which is always a good balance. It copes with pretty much any size of group doing it. So you get everything from Huddersfield Choral Society with a most enormous orchestra and a few professional soloists to do it, right down to your tiny Baroque groups playing period instruments, which is always nice because you get a better balance of the singers and the violinists and so on if you've got the period instruments. So that's quite nice. And with some of those, you might get the solos actually done by the members of the choir because, you know, they take turns at it, so that's fun. Yeah, so it copes with any size of thing. It's appropriate for Christmas and for Easter. So that's quite important.
Tick all the boxes.
Yeah, exactly. It's got three parts to it. So the first part is all about the prophecies about Jesus Christ, and the second part is the Passion, so his life story. And the third part is about the resurrection and what his death means for Christians. So at Christmas you tend to get parts one and two, and then at Easter you get all three. I think it's quite critical that also it's in English, which is extremely useful.
We do like that here.
We do, we do. It makes life easy.
So is it the type of piece of music that you would know without knowing that you know it?
Quite a lot of the bits, yes. Either because the slower pieces for the choruses may well be used as hymn tunes, so you recognise those. But also, yeah, the Handel's music is popular enough that a lot of it filters through into the into the consciousness. So, Frederick Handel wrote this in 1741. He was actually German, but he became a British citizen because he liked the UK so much. He wrote the music in 24 days, which is extraordinary because it's a huge piece, and apparently he was in a divine frenzy, and so it's great. Yeah, so the first Messiah was performed in Dublin, and it was so popular they asked the men not to wear their swords and the women not to wear hooped skirts so they could fit more people in the theatre. And it was a charity performance, which is something that still happens a great deal today because it's a big popular piece. Mm-hmm. And the money they raised at the first one released 142 indebted prisoners, who I imagine were rather glad but probably never got to hear Messiah itself. Should let them out. So the structure of the work is an oratorio, which means it's a sacred work with a chorus and soloists and an orchestra. And the soloists sing two different sorts of piece. One is called a recitative, which is where it's telling a bit of story. And the other is arias, which sound more like songs. So the recitative, there are bits that, from the very beginning, there's one that goes, "There were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night." So it sounds just like speech, but glorified, which is quite nice. And then the arias are a bit more dramatic. But the soloists don't represent characters. So in some pieces, in other oratorios, you might get one singer who sings Jesus's words and another who sings John the Baptist and so on. That doesn't happen here. People just tell bits of the story. So if you're going to a Messiah, two things you need to know quite critically. It's not called the Messiah. Okay. Which is so easy to say. Handel's Messiah is the easiest way to refer to it, because then you don't fall into the trap. But not called the Messiah, just called
the
Messiah.
He's a very naughty boy.
Not the Messiah. And the other thing is that you need to stand for the Hallelujah chorus. So this is one of the big pieces towards the end. And apparently, the first time King George II heard it, he was so delighted. He stood up. And of course, when
now
the king stands up,
to.
Everyone has to stand up. It's another one which has a recitative leading into it, so you don't realise you're there, and suddenly everyone's standing up. Chaos. Brilliant. So, yeah, I think the Messiah is a great piece, and actually listening to bits of it ready to talk reminded me how good it is. How much fun it is.
And remind us when we can go see it this week.
Thursday, the 11th of December, 7:30 p.m. at the Sheldonian. And I would book your tickets soon if you want to go.
But if you do miss it, it'll probably be up, be on again pretty soon.
Nearly every month, basically.
Yep.
Just wait a couple of months till Easter. We'll be back.
Cool. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Well, I don't really know how we're going to follow that. Anais, do you have as much to say about Dirty Dancing at the New Theatre?
I don't have as many fun facts, unfortunately. But Dirty Dancing at the New Theatre, it's the New Theatre's Christmas show. They always have a big glitzy musical that's not particularly festive. So if you want a night away from the carols, the baubles, the festive cheer, but instead want some sexy dancing and classic tunes, then Dirty Dancing is the place to be. It's on at the New Theatre until the 3rd of January. So obviously we all know the 1987 film starring heartthrob Patrick Swayze.
You're not going to sing the song there, right?
I'm not going to sing the song. And I'm not going to say the quote that everyone has to quote when they're talking about this film, because it's a little bit lame. So the film's a classic, and being a film about dancing, this show is more about the kind of shapes than the songs. So it's definitely more about the visuals, the choreography, than any singing and that kind of thing. But obviously there's the soundtrack. So it's very much the film, but on stage. But I don't think it's been changed too much into a very sing-songy show. And it's really feel good. Apparently audiences are all singing along and sometimes just shouting out the lines as well, because they obviously watch the film lots of times. I imagine that's gaggles of girls after the interval, after their bottles of wine, and their tongues just go loose and they just start, you know, heckling and telling the actors what to say.
Get it off!
So there's romance, there's thrusting, there's swivelling, there's gyrating, jumping in the air, being caught, being swung around. What more can you want at Christmas?
I have no idea, but we are sending along our reviewer tomorrow night, so if you do want to know more about this particular production, that'll be up online on Friday.
And if Dirty Dancing makes you want to dust off your own dancing shoes, then on Daily Info, we also list many dance classes. There's also yoga and various forms of team sport training as well. So if this gets you up on your feet, check Daily Info for classes nearby.
I've got a gig of the week now. This is The Lost Art, who we actually spoke about a couple of weeks ago. They're having an album launch on Thursday at the Bullingdon, which is no longer the Art Bar, from 7:30. They are usually a duo, but this time they're boosting up their lineup with strings, percussion and bass, especially for their album nice. Launch, which is very cool. There's going to be support from C Stax, who will be bringing their orchestral indie all the way from the Big Smoke. And we featured The Lost Art's track Equals from their album on the Oxcast, I think 2 weeks ago, when they were performing at the Oxford City Festival. So check back to that episode if you want to get a feel for their music. That's at the Bullingdon on Thursday at 7:30, The Lost Art.
Back to Christmas, and this year Creation Theatre are back at the North Wall, and this time they're adapting Kenneth Graham's The Wind in the Willows, bringing to life the characters of Ratty, Mole, Toad, Mr. Bombastic Toad, and Badger. And Creation offers an alternative to the Christmas pantomime. So although there's element of sort of pantomime and slapstick, there's none of this, it's behind you, and kind of not so much booing and cheering, no threats showing.
Any sweets?
No threats, no, sorry. But there are crepes at the interval if you're feeling hungry. So this show is really good fun. It's madcap, it's quirky. There's a French newt. there's some modern songs. There's a metal fight sequence, which is insane.
Metal music.
Okay. During the huge fight. It's hilarious. And there's jokes for all ages. There's things the little ones will get. There are things adults will get. And I think if you're, you know, a 20-something, you get them all. You get all the jokes.
I'm going on Friday. For you.
You're going to love it. And so it sounds a little bit confusing, but it will just make you laugh so much and also kind of make you cry as well, because even though it's a very sort of contemporary adaptation and lots of kind of novel ideas of ways of putting on this show, it's still very much the story. It's very much about friendship and caring for people. And at this time of year, that's a nice message.
And the nostalgia of knowing the story from when you were little as well must be nice.
Exactly. And seeing it played with, it's definitely played with in a funny way. And the design is also worth mentioning of this show. It's the concept is that these six actors, they come in as themselves and they're just sort of walking into the North Wall and discovering the space. And the space, the way they've been designed, it's sort of like the outside's grown in and it's been taken over. So it's like a disused theatre that they've just come across with lots of leaves and branches and mess and old props. And then they find the Book of the Wind and the Willows and they start turning from themselves in their hiking gear, having been on a walk, into the characters. So the costumes, there's no face paint, there's no animal masks. It's kind of your everyday clothes with kind of elements to hint at characters. And then the characterization of them is very much through their personality. So the rat's a little bit OCD, just because that's kind of the character that she's sort of got from the script. And so completely different take on it and really, really good fun. And The Wind in the Willows at the North Wall Arts Centre by Creation Theatre is running until the 10th of January, nearly every day, two shows a day. Don't miss it.
My next event now, this is something that I don't actually quite understand exactly what you're going to get from it, but it's a science cabaret that's at Arts of the Old Fire Station on Friday from 8 o'clock. And I think it's going to be a mixture of stand-up, song and hands-on science, exploring the different ways in which the world and the human race might come to an end, whether it's going to be an asteroid or disease or war or technology.
How uplifting.
But it's done by comedians and scientists, so it should be both knowledgeable and fun at the same time. It's been developed by Helen Arney, who is a singer with a degree in physics, who then started writing stand-up and songs. And she's done loads of radio and TV and had an award-winning show in Edinburgh called Voice of an Angle. And it's also going to involve Chris Lintott, who's a presenter of The Sky at Night, who lots of people will know. He's doing loads of events around Oxford all the time. I think he's based here, but people will know him from The Sky at Night. And also a bunch of young scientists from Science Oxford will be involved. So yeah, I don't really know what to expect, but it sounds pretty fun.
It sounds slightly like an event they had at the Arts Old Fire Station a little while ago that we talked about, Brain Sex, which was, again, I think about science and gender, but then done in a sort of stand-up, fun way. So I guess it's just about making this kind of knowledge just fun and accessible and not just sort of textbook matter.
Yeah, I think you could definitely go along to it just as a stand-up gig, basically. It's not sort of trying to make something interesting by making it like a bit funny or whatever. It should be like genuinely interesting for both reasons. And I think maybe you could like sort of ask them questions as well. I think that'd be kind of cool, about Rosetta and Philae maybe, or about the plot holes and wormholes of Interstellar. The tickets are £10 and £6. Doors are from 7:30, suitable for 14 plus.
So there are various Christmas knees-up type gigs over the next few weeks, lots of festive cheer, but there's a different gig with a Christmas theme happening on Saturday at the East Oxford Community Centre being put on by regular folk. So this is an idea of sort of a peaceful and magical evening that's more about getting away from the hustle and bustle and having a sort of quiet and caring moment and having, you know, a bit more thoughtful. And it's 7:30 at the East Oxford Community Centre. And Nat from Daily Info caught up with the organiser, Vez, who told us a bit more about what you can expect on the night and who's playing.
So I'm here with Vez from Irregular Folk. And Irregular Folk have a gig coming up.
Yes, we've got our Christmas show, which we always look forward to doing. And we're going to be doing it in a different place than the first time we've ever been in the East Oxford Community Centre in the lounge.
Oh, okay. So you've done this previously?
The Christmas shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, always love Christmas, basically. It's always a good excuse for a bit of a party. And in the past we've done it at the Cellar, which is a fantastic venue.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to be able to be there for a bit longer this time.
Okay.
Because we have to pack down after the show for the club night at the Cellar.
Oh, okay.
So we thought we'd go roving around, and we love the lounge area in the East Oxford Community Centre. And there's a lot of our audiences do come from around the Cowley Road area. Just so lovely to be able to just, you know.
Yeah, it's a convenient venue, isn't it?
And
always has so many different things going on, loads of stuff they have there.
It's great, and that lounge room is like a fantastic blank canvas, because I don't know if you know, but we like to create a really special environment for the artists to play in, for both them and the audience. And so we've got this amazing square room to get stuck into.
Play around with.
Yeah.
And so who, can you say who you've got coming up in the Christmas concert?
Oh yeah, it's all out on mm-hmm. posters and everything. We've got, basically we've got Magic Lantern, which is one guy and a guitar who's got the most beautiful voice. And he is in Ballinawalers, who we had before, which they're three guys that do sea shanty singing. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Flights of Helios, who I've always wanted to put on since I saw them do an alternative folk set at, folk inspired set at Wilderness a few years back. I thought that was amazing. So I've asked them, and I'm very lucky, they're going to do a special set. They're going to be doing a bit of a different thing for us, which okay. is great. And this night is acoustic. People are doing different versions of what they'd normally do to fit into that vibe. And then we've got Jordan Hunt, who I discovered via a band we had on at the summer show called The Irrepressibles. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hunt was their violinist, and he now does his own work, and it's incredible piano and singing and a vocal like I've never heard before. I'm very excited to have him come to Oxford.
I have heard one of his tracks and it's incredible. His voice is,
isn't it,
quite eerie and but like
yes,
just very beautiful.
And I think the idea for this Christmas show is, rather than some kind of knees up Christmas show, because we've got enough of those kinds of parties, I think this is for everybody to just I use the analogy of a bit like when the silence of when the snow falls around you and it's so beautiful, and this is an evening of just real relaxing beauty, and we're going to nice. Make the venue look stunning and offer all the nice trimmings as well. So some carefully selected drinks mm-hmm. and nibbles. But definitely the key thing with Irregular Folk is think about it being more irregular mm-hmm. and folk being people rather than
okay.
folk music.
So that was Nat talking to Vez from Irregular Folk, and it's about the Christmas special event this Saturday. And there's a longer chat which you can listen to between Nat and Vez on the Oxcast Extra channel, so you can find out about how Vez set up Irregular Folk and kind of how her sort of ethical gig promotion ethos filters through to the design of the posters, the supplies they get in for the food, how they treat the artists. It was a really interesting listen. Listen to that on dailyinfo.co.uk/podcasts.
Saturday the 13th of December, I'm sure you will know, Anaïs, is St Lucy's Day. And carrying on from the couple of continental festive celebrations from last week.
Because we're a bit foreign here.
Yeah, a little bit. Santa Lucia, as the Nordic countries call it, is celebrated on the 13th of December. And it ushers in the Christmas season. So for the Santa Lucia celebrations, a young girl will dress up in white robes with a crown of candles, quite often LED lights these days because they can get a bit dangerous. And there'll be songs sung and sort of a procession, and people will eat gingerbread and saffron buns, and it's all celebrated on the 13th of December. So happy Santa Lucia to all those who are celebrating it on Saturday, and also an excuse to eat some buns and gingerbread.
And there's somewhere where you probably shouldn't wear a candle headdress to, and that's to the Oxford Ice Rink on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday there's going to be Celebrations on Ice Christmas show at the Oxford Ice Rink. This is a show that's been going on for a few years now, and the Oxford Ice Rink is now 30 years old this year. The theme of this year's show is Celebration, and the cast is going to include professional ice dancers, including David Richardson, who was 2011 British skating champion and was also the team reserve for this year's Sochi Olympics. Also Mark Henretti, who's represented GB at World and European Championships, and Maria Filipov, who is a Bulgarian professional ice dancer who some people might have seen on Dancing on Ice. She won the series a few years ago with Ray Quinn. They're all going to be performing, as well as 100 local skaters from Oxford Junior Figure Club. And tickets are £10 for adults, £8 concessions. There are a couple of family deal tickets as well for £24 and £31. And it should be really good fun. That's on Saturday and Sunday from 3 till 6pm at the Oxford Ice Rink. Also at the Ice Rink, though, Oxford City Stars' last game of 2014 will be on Sunday the 21st of December from 6:15. They're looking to get revenge on Solent Devils, who beat the Stars 10-2 last week in Gosport. And the Stars are now off the bottom of the table after beating London Rangers a couple of weeks ago. So well done to them.
We were worried about them.
Yeah, no, they're doing better. Going into the new year off the bottom of the table. So Well done, guys.
So that's the last event we've got for the Oxcast this week. You can find more details about all the events we've spoken about in today's Oxcast and more on dailyinfo.co.uk.
Do also check out our advent calendar each day. There's a link to it from the homepage, and see if you can guess where our little dragon has been visiting, which pubs he's been in.
And you can play Santa's Surprise if you want to just keep hitting spacebar and throwing candy canes towards Christmas trees. And then if you lose, you will then melt into a bauble mess. It's very festive, very addictive, very fun. Get on the league table and try and beat the Daily Info staff, who definitely don't just play it all day.
Nope, definitely not. And our Christmas page of information about travel and Christmas trees and events and everything you need to know, basically, will be being updated all the time. And again, you can find a link from our homepage.
Keep in touch with us on Facebook. Just search and like our page Daily Info Oxford. And we're on Twitter @Daily Info Oxford.